Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Bert Show.
Morning, Linda. You're on Q100.
Good morning. About a year and a half ago, I was casually dating this guy. I just wasn't really that into it at the time. I kind of, you know, brought him into my friend group, and he seemed kind of interested in another girl in the friend group anyway. Well, over the last year and a half, I've gotten to know him, and I really like him. What I've done is I've created a profile. I've set myself up as a guy on MySpace, and I have been communicating with the girl that the guy that I'm into is now dating. She's totally into it. Things have definitely gotten a little inappropriate. Now she's pushing that she wants to meet.
Have you even thought ahead and how you're going to present this to him?
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a totally anonymous email address, and I'm going to email him, and then he can go look in the email box and see all the correspondence with his girlfriend and this fake guy.
All right, that was Friday on the show.
Now I remember. Because that was, when you first were reminding me of her, I forgot she created the page as a guy.
Yeah.
And was entrapping the girl and then using it all as
because
proof.
Because the other way doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes total sense this way.
Well, this way she'll never get busted for it in her mind.
Right.
We're such simple creatures, guys. We would never think of this.
Well, we would think of it.
Oh, no.
No, we would think of it the other way. And we'd end up screwing it all up.
What do you mean?
Wait.
Like, we would think of it, like, if we're guys, then we would try to set up the other guy, and then we'd end up not being with the girl, because she'd think we're crazy, and then the guy wouldn't be our buddy anymore, because he would somehow find out about it. But she's being all crafty about it and going to the opposite sex. Brilliant.
Smart.
Jacked up.
Brilliant.
Hey, Linda, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you're back on the voice disguiser.
Okay, good.
All right, so over the weekend, once again, going into the weekend, the master plan was to do what?
The master plan was to set up a fake email address and email him and say, hey, bro, check out what your girl's up to. And
hey,
give
bro.
Him.
Hey, bro.
You got the lingo down.
What's up, bro?
What's up, bro?
Hey, bro.
Isn't it California? It's more like bra.
Hey, I was going to give him the password and the username that I created on MySpace for the fake guy. Mm-hmm. So that he could see his girlfriend's correspondence with this guy and how she's been kind of inappropriate.
Yeah, so. Give us some examples of that correspondence and, like you said, the inappropriateness of it.
You know, she says stuff like, you know, you look really strong. What sorts of things do you like to wrap those arms around? And like, really cheesy, inappropriate too. Just like
very dating game.
Yeah, just like I'm trying to think what's the sort of worst thing that she wrote that I can say on here. Like she's like, do you like my bikini? There's a picture of her in a bikini on hers, and she's like. Because it's a string bikini, talking about, have you ever taken off someone's bikini with only your teeth?
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
She's not messing around. Okay.
I'm just curious, how much time did you take creating this fake guy's MySpace page? Like, does it have wallpaper and music?
Well, it's Yeah, kind of. Well, it started out, I was going to keep it simple, but then I just started having fun, so I made it a little bit
fun.
This is like extensive bio on somebody who doesn't exist.
The guy that I made.
Can't you see just her like rubbing her hands together because her diabolical plan is coming together?
She's like creating like his favorite sports team. She's like, right. What else is he like?
Yeah. What kind of team would he like? Would he be a baseball fan or a football fan?
Yeah.
And what is he going to wrap those arms around?
Those mighty pythons.
Welcome to the gun show. Is that his quote? Because it should be. That should be his quote.
His headline.
So she certainly has bit here. She's writing stuff back like, have you ever like, you know, undone a bikini with your teeth? She's bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, totally.
All right, so now the second part of this was, how were you gonna tip him off?
How was I gonna tip the guy that I want to see off?
Yeah, as yourself or as somebody else?
No, I was gonna create an anonymous Gmail account and then send him an email saying, you know,
hey bro,
like, hey, though, so, you know, and tone it like it's from another guy, like, hey bro, thought you might like to see what your girl's been up to.
And how long have they been going out?
Like 8 months, sort of, off and on, something like that. Right, yeah.
So it's fairly serious.
Yeah. Because once you're past the 6 month point.
They're not right for each other. They're totally not. And especially if she's doing this, you know.
Totally.
And you are. You're right for them.
Yes.
But how can you be right for them if you're doing it too?
Doing what? I wouldn't be cheating on him with some dude on MySpace.
evil laugh.
So all right, so how did it all happen this weekend? What happened?
Okay, so here's the thing. I went to, you know, log into the account to, like, talk to her, set it up, and she had written me, or, you know, written the guy that I created and said, so, ... when are we going to meet up, or are you all talk?
She went ...
Oh, yeah.
Already?
No way.
Boy.
So she had already, you know, she's the one. She took the step. She, like, so I don't even have to do that. But the thing is, like, I gotta dig around some more, because what I want to happen is I want to work it out so that I arrange to have her meet this fake guy, where my guy is already hanging out. So he sees her there, you know what I mean? And is like, what the heck are you doing here? And she'll probably have to have lied to him to get there anyway. And she'll be like, oh, you know, and she'll freak out and act like she's meeting one of her friends. And then when I send him the anonymous email, he'll see, you know, he'll see within the MySpace correspondence that, oh, we're going to meet at this bar at this time.
I got a little lost right there.
I did too.
So you're gonna arrange a meeting.
It's gotten complicated. Okay, what I want to do is I want to be able to set it up on MySpace with her. We're gonna meet at this bar at this time, right? But I want it to be a bar that he hangs out at, so that he will be there.
So he busts.
Okay, so
he busts her.
He's going there.
He'll bust her there, and like maybe, you know, she'll be able to come up with an excuse as to why she's there. But then when I send him the email with the MySpace password and all that stuff, he'll see on the MySpace that she set it up to meet this guy there.
It's not going to work.
Why?
Because if it's a bar that he's even been to once before, or even remotely close to his neighborhood, she's not going to want to meet the other dude there. There's no way that she's going to go to any bar that he'll even want to come to. So what you need to do is you need to make the arrangement with her to meet at whatever place that she suggests, and then like 12 hours before that, send the email to him. Send the fake dude writes to real dude, hey, brah, I was just thinking that maybe you and I could go chill and hang here. Check out these emails that I've exchanged with another brah. And, like, so...
with your girl.
Right, so he'll see... Or, right, with your girl. So then what'll happen is he'll see that she's going to be there, and he'll show up and go, what are you doing here? And she's going to say, I'm going to be meeting girlfriends. But then he'll say, doll, and then he'll whip out all of the emails.
Doll? Sorry.
Yeah, he'll whip out all of the emails that... he and you had exchanged with you.
Please stop.
That's a lot on a Monday.
That's more diabolical.
And why are you helping her?
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm just saying her
that's
way wouldn't
good.
Work.
I just hope. That's good. That's really good. I just, I don't know, 12 hours is like a lot of turnaround time. And what if he does something stupid, like confronts her on it. I, like, want him to see her there, you know what I mean? That might work.
Well, you're not going to be able to control everything.
That only happens in the movies.
Yeah.
These plans only work out flawlessly in the movies or on television.
In the movies, she would be dressed up in a costume behind the bar,
right,
bartending and watching the whole thing happen.
Reading a newspaper that she slowly lowers to peer over.
Exactly.
See what is happening.
Hey, Tina, you're on Q100.
Hey, guys. How are you?
All right. Thank you.
My question is, if she's trying to do this anonymously, what's he going to think when he gets this email from his personal email from someone knowing him and his girlfriend? He's going to know that, you know, it's somebody he knows.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't necessarily have to be her. It could be anybody in his group.
Could be, but all that sounds to me is like someone trying to set somebody up.
And it's obviously coming from a guy because he said, hey, bruh.
Hey, bro.
I don't think she cares that it's like, it doesn't matter that he knows that somebody set him up. Like, I think her thought is he'll be appreciative of that and he never has to know it's her. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I could even do it, like, to avoid that, I could just be like, hey, bro, you know, I don't like to get into your stuff, but another bro of mine was telling me about this girl that he met, and when I went to her MySpace profile, it was your girl, bro.
Violation on the overuse of bro.
Yeah, just so you know, we're kidding about all the bro stuff. Like,
I mean,
know,
like, one bro would work, but two bros is pushing it, and three is way unbelievable.
Like, yeah.
Suffering from over bro.
Got a nasty case of over bro. All right, when is the next step supposed to go down?
I was gonna do it this week. I wasn't sure, you know, but I guess I could make it happen a little faster now. I'm gonna do it the way you said. I don't know. I don't want it to. She has to show up, you know. Otherwise, because once fake guy doesn't show up, the girl's not gonna show up again. Once fake guy stands her up, it's going to work out.
If you say they're not right for each other, aren't they gonna break up anyway? And you can be there for them.
Yeah, but I just want to hasten the process. Life's short, man. We could die tomorrow.
Now, does it speed it up, or what if he doesn't respond? What if they work it out, and then it makes them stronger?
Well, then it wasn't meant to be, but I don't think they would work it out.
Anybody else want to take it?
I can't.
Anyone?
What?
I can't. That's all yours, my friend.
Set it free.
Will you call us after the next step here and let us know how it went?
I will.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Q100.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just wanted to let you guys know that actually works. I mean, it is sounds kind of a little bit psychotic, but I use it on my brother's baby's mama. And what I did was tell her that, meet me at this bar, you know, we're going to meet up. And I had my brother standing right there waiting on her. And then I've also done it to one of my friends, ex-school friends. You know, I had her send me pictures and stuff like that. Then I took the messages and forwarded it to him.
You're
devious. I know.
So
but,
you're a serial.
Hey, I thought it was hilarious.
You do this. You're like a serial.
I'm like a serial MySpace person that sets people up and has them caught.
Damn.
Wow.
I hate cheaters.
I'm telling you, the internet is. The world is not a better place since the internet got. Damn Al Gore.
It's all Al Gore's fault.
The Bird Show.
All right, I have a suspicion, and this is just my own personal observation that I'm hoping I could either get confirmation on this morning or complete denial.
Okay.
I have a theory here, and nurses can't say it while they're at the hospital, that's for sure, but you could sort of see it from time to time with nurses, that I think there's like this bubbling animosity between nurses and doctors. And I think it's because nurses bust their ass. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying doctors don't, but I'm saying like nurses put in a good amount of time. I know in watching my wife's delivery, for instance, like the nurse is there the entire time. She's doing everything. Doctor comes in last minute, literally last minute, last couple of pushes on our first baby, and game over. Doctor comes in, takes all the credit, takes off, you know? And I'm not sure that it's like that outside of delivery rooms and other areas of the medical industry, but I know I have seen from time to time in hospitals where a nurse, maybe it's a personal thing or maybe it's more of a generalization, where she just sort of feels like she shouldn't get enough credit and the doctor is like the glory dude.
But couldn't it be argued that there are so many, there are more nurses than doctors? So, like, that's their job is to get everything ready. And then the doctor is just essentially coming in to sign off on it.
Well,
like,
I
wouldn't
think,
that be the argument?
Even if that was the job, that wouldn't mean that the nurses wouldn't feel like they just weren't appreciated because they are working harder.
Right.
Well, I think it just depends. I think that, I mean, they're two completely different jobs. The doctor is totally responsible on every level for everything happens with that patient. So there's a level of responsibility that the doctor has that the nurse may not have. So, you know, it's not to disregard the, you know, level that doctors play. But the nurses certainly do have interaction with the patients more often than the doctors do. In my case, I have a chronic condition. So when you have a chronic condition, you have a specialized doctor and nurses, then there's a closer relationship with them. I haven't experienced that in my time that the nurses and the doctors have there's a resentment because they work so closely together. And the nurses, from what I've seen, feel appreciated by those doctors because they're constantly working together. But I said this earlier, I don't think it's just doctors that don't appreciate nurses. I think society doesn't, because I think that if you are a person that went to your parents and said, I'm going to medical school, I'm going to go be a nurse, then, you know, people always will question, well, why not just be a doctor?
Right. Why don't you go a little longer?
You know,
why don't you stretch yourself a little bit and really earn?
Yeah. And right. I don't think they get the appreciation from everybody that they deserve, not just the doctors.
So we kind of sort of call this like occupational confessional, where we'll put you on the voice disguiser and we're not going to ask you where you work. We're not even going to ask you what your real name is, how long you've been a nurse. But is there a bubbling kind of animosity towards doctors general rule? Is it there?
Mm-hmm. And does it go both ways? Does it come from the doctors to the nurses too?
And I think that especially if you're a male nurse, definitely call, because I think that you talk about being disrespected for what you do and feeling like you're not doing enough, which is ridiculous.
My best friend is a nurse, and so is her husband. And so I also have heard that the male nurses get all the tougher jobs, like they get all the heavier patients, they have to do all the heavier lifting, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing, and don't really get any credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we will call her Sarah, and she is on the voice disguiser right now. Good morning, Sarah.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Can I
good.
Just ask
I'm,
you?
I'm excited to talk to you guys. I've been a listener from the beginning, and I never get through. So
well, thank you.
I think I can bring some clarification to all of your questions.
Okay.
All right. Okay, well, I'll address, first of all, you were talking about, like, the animosity, or is there any, like, bubbling jealousy? And I think that one of you guys, I think Melissa, you said it, that I don't know that they're two different jobs, and so I don't know that I have, like, a jealousy towards doctors, but I think where the tension comes in, or where the resentment comes in, is that as a nurse, you're in the hospital setting, which is all I can really speak to, because that's all I've ever done until recently. You do all this work to help get your patient ready. I did trauma ICU, so it was very intense. You have a lot of things going on. And the doctors kind of swoop in, as one of you said, and they kind of take all the credit, which is fine because that's what they do, and they went to school a long time. I have no problem with that. But the way they treat you behind the scenes is what has ultimately led for me to leave the hospital, because they will, in general, and there's a few exceptions, but in general, the way they talk to you, I mean, I'm sure these people, a lot of these doctors, wouldn't even talk to a dog the way they talk to the nurse. It's like so condescending, giving us these orders and saying, you know, why did you do this? You need to do this. And then they leave. So in the aftermath, then you have to kind of say, okay, well, I need to do all these things that he said, and go check the chart, and they forgot to write the order. So then you have to call them and say, you forgot to write the order. You wanted me to do X, Y, and Z, but you didn't write the order. And then they're kicked off because you're calling them. So it's more of just the relationship, I think. And, again, there's a few exceptions, but for the most part, I've been a nurse for a long time, and I've worked at some of the best teaching university hospitals on the East. And in general, that's the way they treat you. It's just, like, so condescending. They talk to you horribly, and you're just a task-oriented profession.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. All right, that's just the first one. Get the phones lit up with nurses. Good morning, Q100.
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay. You're on the voice disguiser.
Oh, good.
You're a male nurse.
Yeah.
Do you feel any of this anytime?
You know, I think it actually depends on which area of the hospital you work in. Because in the emergency room and, like, in the ICU, like, it seems like the critical care areas, mm-hmm. the nurses tend to get along with the doctors a little bit more, just because there's a lot of emergent things that go on, and the nurse has to do the work and just has to get it done without the physician being around. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you work on the med-surg floor, it's kind of a more laid-back environment. The patient's there a little bit longer, and the nurse really, there's not that much to do as far as emergent things that need to be done. They give the patient the meds, they go by what the orders the doctors wrote, and that's pretty much it. And then if the physician does need to come in, like on the med-surg floor, they have to call them to get orders. And it seems like that's where the doctors throw more attitude, is up on those type of floors, whereas the nurse room is not.
Have you ever felt a lack of respect for being a nurse?
Yeah, definitely. I work at a facility that has med students, mm-hmm. and has the residents. And the residents are the ones that have the attitude, because mm-hmm. they are just learning to be doctors.
Right.
And so you kind of get a little upset because you're like, listen, you snotty little punk. I've been doing this for so many years, and here you are. You know 10 times more than they do. But mm-hmm. They're sitting there, you know, being jerks. And they're probably the ones that seem to get slapped around a little bit for their attitude with the nurses.
We said it's kind of the same rule with celebrities in here. If they're on their way up, generally they're really arrogant and standoffish. But if they've already made it, they're cool.
Right.
Totally cool.
Right.
Yep.
Good morning, Jennifer. You're on Q100.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi. You're on The Voice Disguiser. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't have to be on The Voice Disguiser.
I don't really care.
Okay.
I've been a nurse since 1985, and I've worked in the hospital. I've worked in chronic dialysis. I've worked all over. And 9 times out of 10, doctors disrespect nurses. We're the ones who, when we see a problem, we call them and say, this is going on. They say, oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe we should do this. And then they make it all big, like, oh, I fixed them. I made them better. And, you know, you just only do what I say.
So, again,
and
it's that task.
That's, like, so not it at all. I mean, the nurses are the ones who save the lives, because they're the ones who are there all the time. And like you said before, the doctor came in, oh, 2 pushes, I delivered the baby. Well, who was the one that was there for all of it? And that's the nurses. And they don't get the respect they deserve.
So, again, it's that taskmaster mentality.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, it's the doctor writes the order and the nurse fulfills it, but it's almost like the, well, you're here for me and that's all you're here for, when it really is a profession that should stand on its own. And there's a shortage of nurses. Like, there's been a bubbling shortage mm-hmm. of nurses for almost a decade now. So this must be, it's all relative, I think. The fact that if I'm not respected and I'm not getting paid what I should be paid, then why am I going into this profession, and is one of the most important professions out there?
Alicia, do you want to be on The Voice Disguiser?
Yes.
Okay, you are.
Hi, good morning, Bert.
Good morning.
See you guys every morning.
Thank you. Now you have a form. All right, go ahead. You've been waiting for somebody to ask.
Well, I left my last job because I transferred from a hospital setting because I wasn't getting the respect that I deserved, and went to an office setting. And in the office setting, a doctor actually threw a freaking chart at me.
Really?
Oh, no.
Yes. It was something about an order that was supposed to be written and faxed to the hospital for a patient, and it was important. And it was done. She just didn't look. So, out of spite, she threw the chart.
Mm.
And we deal with that every day, all the time. We deal with the patients one-on-one, face-to-face. Every day, the doctors, all they do is write the orders. And that's what we're supposed to do, go by the orders. It's not fair. It's not fair to us, and it's not fair to our patients, because sometimes they lack on a different type of care that they need. And some of the doctors don't have the compassion. What happened to the compassion in the medical field? What happened to the compassion for the doctors they're supposed to have for these patients? And they don't. They just see them as a dollar sign, what type of insurance you have. That's it. That's the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, in the days of the, you know, house calls and stuff are gone.
Fortunately over.
Yeah.
I'd say that we could probably do this for the next 2 hours if we wanted to, but just to give you kind of an indication of what's going on the phones. About 75 to 80% of the calls are from nurses saying, yeah, there's not only that bubbling tension going on, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's just that taskmaster mentality. And just they don't get the respect from doctors that they think they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Some assistants were calling out the nurses, though. Like
it trickles down.
Like it trickles
down. Like a technician
down.
Is saying a nurse
doctor
is
takes it out
me.
Of the nurse. Nurse takes it out of the technician.
Right.
Technician
oh,
takes
no.
it out of the assistant.
Let's just pay it forward.
Yeah.
The Bert Show.
Good morning, Megan.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
Yeah. So my best friend, and when I say best friend, let me just clarify before we even start. She's like a sister to me. Like we have the same age children, and they play together. They do everything together. We do things with our husbands together every month, once a month at least. We do things together. So she's more than just my best friend. I just want to clarify that. But so she's been really strange lately, and I'm kind of getting a feeling that something is not going well in the marriage, and she just won't tell me about it. I haven't heard a thing. She always comes to me with everything. And
are you sleeping with her husband?
Am I?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, of course not. But I just don't know what to do because I'm hurt because I can't help her. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm always there for her, so I'm kind of hurt in that way. But then I'm also hurt that she just isn't coming to me.
Well, how do you know she's having these problems? You're just assuming?
Well, not just assuming. I mean, I'm pretty sure. Like, I haven't seen her husband in probably, like, at least 2 weeks. I haven't seen him at all. And we always have these monthly dinners that we all go out together. We get, like, one babysitter for the kids, and we all go out to dinner together. And we haven't done that in 2 months at least. And so I said that the other day. I was like, oh, you know, we haven't done one of these. We have to get together. That's it. You know, this week we're going to do something. And she ended up coming, and she came alone. Her husband wasn't with her. And so, you know, of course, obviously that's weird, although it's a couple's dinner. So she said that he was sick. I was like, okay, you know, whatever, he's sick. My husband and I get home, and his car isn't even in the driveway.
Maybe he went to the pharmacy.
Yeah,
because that's
a
good place to hang out.
I'm getting a very strange feeling.
Because he's sick.
Have you asked her if everything's okay?
Yeah.
And she said yeah?
I mean, she's very different. She's very distant and very kind of quiet lately. And, of course, I mean, I've asked her, you know, if there's anything going on. And she's, no, everything's fine. She doesn't say anything. I'm not sure what to do.
Well, now, you focused on this couple's dinner. How much one-on-one time do y'all hang out together?
A lot. I mean, we're like one family. Like, we did recently put up new fencing,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't put the part that divides our homes, we left that unfenced. So we have, like, one big family yard. I mean, she's like a part of my family. You know, we spend time together all the time. Like, her kids will eat over at my house all the time, like, a couple times a week, and vice versa. It's just very, like, we're like one family.
Okay. Well, I think that may be a clue for me, is the fact that if you are just one big unit, so it's not you two are best friends, and that, you know, you kind of confide in each other, and you hang out in your husbands or your husbands, but what's most important is you are best friends, where you're, every language you're speaking is we as a unit, we as a huge, full unit. So if she has a problem or is having problems in her marriage,
right.
I could see where she would go to somebody else outside this unit, because it doesn't seem like it's built around your friendship, it's around your families.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Melissa. Good morning, Monica. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Melissa, you're, I think, right on, and I wanted to also share, having been a woman who had gone through a divorce in my 20s, that's a very, very specific experience, and you don't know how you'll handle it until you go through it. And I found myself not telling anybody, not my best friend, not my mom, not anybody,
mm-hmm.
because it's something that until you really want to work it out, you don't want to be premature and say, we're having problems. The other thing is, she is like your family, which means she doesn't want to probably turn you against her husband
right.
at all or prematurely. And I wouldn't take it as a personal affront in any way. I think it's just how she's dealing with it, probably. And if the more you can be there for her in a very general way, I think the better friend you'll be. I had a dear, dear friend that went through breast cancer, and I never knew it. And I just, you know, said, hey, I wish I could have been there for you, but I understand that's your choice. So
yeah, some people just choose, like, I think my wife is more of a person that would bring her friends in and talk about it, whereas I would handle it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to burden anybody with it. I don't want to talk about it with anybody. I want to just fight the inner fight by myself, which is probably the unhealthier way to do it. But some people just fight the fight themselves in their own head.
And I think the friend selection, that sometimes you don't want the repercussions for what you're about to say. So sometimes it's easier to tell a friend, a person who's not quite your closest friend about something traumatic. So like the last caller said, in case it works out, then there's no repercussions to what you said, or you don't want she's a part of this perfect family unit that the two of you have created, that she doesn't want maybe her own reputation with you to be damaged, so she wants to go to somebody else, which is not an insult. It's just, yeah, I do think it is how she's handling it, and you just have to be there for her however she is.
Good morning, Annie. You're on the Burt Show, Q100.
Hi. I just wanted to say that, like, she doesn't have to tell you. If she doesn't want to tell you, then she's not going to tell you. It's really none of your business anyway.
Hey, Annie, how old are you?
I'm 12.
All right. Doesn't mean her opinion's any less valid.
No, your
than
opinion is just
old.
As valid. We were just curious.
Like, Annie, how would you handle this situation? If you're,
it happens to me, like, all the time. I really don't care. They don't have to tell me. Of course, I'm going to find out anyway, but...
So, like, if your best friend had a secret and she was telling other people and not you, you wouldn't be offended by that?
Not really.
Okay.
Like, she doesn't have to tell me. Like, if she wants to tell me, then she'll tell me. But I'm going to find out anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay. And we don't know that her friend has told anybody about anything. She's just not sharing it with her. So it may be like what Bert said.
It's more because it's not that I'm like, it's more that I feel like, I have no, it's just a very helpless feeling because she's my best friend and I want to be able to help her, and I know she's going through something. It's not so much that I'm mad that she, I'm a little bit hurt because, we are so close, but it's more that I really want to help her. I want to be there with her, but I never saw it the way you guys are saying it, and that makes sense to me, that she doesn't want to bring us into it right now because just in case, if it does work out or she just doesn't want to ruin. That makes sense.
And when you really want to help somebody, you have to help them on their terms, not your terms. So you can't force her to let you help her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me just take one or two more calls. Kenya, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, Bert Show. Hey. I was just calling to say that it sounds, I kind of agree partially with the 12-year-old. It's a bit selfish on her part to want her to tell her, and I understand you wanting to help her, but if she's your best friend, she's going to tell you if she wants you to know. And the great thing about being a friend and being a best friend is knowing when to step to the side, knowing when to be quiet, knowing when to let situations happen. That's the good thing about having really, really good friends in your life, is knowing when to be the friend, knowing when to just shut up, knowing when to listen, knowing when to talk, all that good stuff. So just step outside of yourself for a second, and if she wants to tell you, she'll tell you. If she doesn't, she doesn't, but it shouldn't affect your relationship one way or another.
Do you really want to help her, or do you just want to be involved just
in the know?
I don't know where that came from. Do you just want to be like part of the inner circle and be part of the whole gossipy, rumory thing?
No, because I'm not like that. I'm really not. So I want to help her. She's going through a tough time, but
maybe
definitely step aside if, I'll be there if she needs me, but I won't bring it up anymore, I guess.
But maybe you helping her is you not knowing. Like, maybe a lot of people do know and you're the one who doesn't, so everything's normal.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people feel, too, if you know, then your husband will know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe she's just trying to keep this thing all to herself.
Yeah.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.